The following podcast may contain strong language and spoilers. Listener discretion is advised. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Bugcast, named so because our obnoxious voices are sure to bug you. I'm your host, Buggy.
And I'm Chris.
And joining us today is our guest, Kurt, a.k.a. General Guy Rosen.
Hey, everybody. I'm Kurt, a.k.a. General Guy Rosen, like he said. I'm currently in uni. I'm 18, American. Been watching anime since about 2005. And I started getting involved in the community in about 2013. I'd say that, like, I generally like all the various genres, and I love analyzing anime. It's one of my favorite things to do and talk about it. That's half the fun to me, besides watching it, is being able to talk about it like this. So I'm very honored to be joining these guys today.
So just to sort of give us an example of your taste, what are five of your favorite anime? They don't have to be your top five, just five of your favorites.
Oh, just off the top of my head? Okay. Yeah. Code Geass is definitely just the one that I always mention. Legend of Galactic Heroes, Monster, like Fate, and maybe School Rumble.
Okay. When you say Fate, is there any particular series
that are just like referring to the whole thing?
Just the franchise as a whole.
Yeah.
I'll allow it. So, on the flip side of that, are there three anime that you just absolutely hate?
Well, I can't say that I absolutely hate them, but I also wouldn't consider them the worst I've seen. They're by far not the worst like that, but
yeah, no. That's,
yeah, but
I wouldn't
three I frequently myself get into kind of like passionate arguments about will probably be the Monogatari series, Psycho Pass, and probably Guilty Crown.
Okay. I'm sure Chris and I could get into one of those heated arguments with you about Psycho Pass if we
yes,
wanted
you could.
To.
You could. I've had plenty.
But let's say
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I would, but
I mean, I have to build nuclear fallout shelters to protect myself. So.
I would, but I'm not feeling it today. You see, it's been raining, and I just think to myself, well, the water may fill up the holes on the road. It'll never fill up the hole in one's heart. I've been watching Divine Gate.
Right. And it's been snowing here, so my heart is frozen.
It's just cold here, so.
Damn, I was going for a joke.
Well, it's not going to make sense to people who haven't seen Divine Gate.
It should.
And even still, you had to explain it. It wasn't that great of a joke, Chris.
Well, I was going to start right away, but no. I tried to sound all sad at the beginning, but no. You just, instead of asking how I was feeling, no concern about the emotions of your co-host. And you just go right into the guest who is apparently more important.
A podcast is not a place to care.
This is edgy. Anyway.
Okay. So, just out of curiosity then, Kurt, do you have a waifu or a character that you consider your waifu? Or husband? Husbando? Is that how
we
you
don't
pronounce?
Judge here.
We don't judge.
To be entirely honest, I never really got into it, but to be satirical with friends and stuff, probably from School Rumble, Yakumo Tsukamoto.
Okay.
And that's been one of my favorites for a while.
Okay. Is there any sort of character archetype that that you're fond of then?
Usually the as they're referred to, the guile hero and manipulative bastard tropes. Examples being Lelouch Ribatania, for example, or Light, or people of that nature.
Mm-hmm. All right. And then sort of anything else you wanted to go into yet?
Nothing in particular. Besides, like other interests are, like, you know, various shows. I'm in uni for political science and whatnot. Build models, I read. So my interests expand far beyond anime and whatnot. So that's the point I'd like to make.
And that's probably healthy.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
All right, so you guys want to talk about anything that you've been watching lately that you've been enjoying, or that you've not been enjoying, I suppose? You know, I know the winter season has just been sort of starting as we're recording this, so...
The majority of it decided to air today.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You know, speaking of which, that's another topic for another time, but, like, airing anime and stuff, but this year I'm going to be doing an experiment where I don't watch anything as they air, and I'll watch things from the previous season during the currently airing season, and that's what I plan to do. I just don't feel like watching them as they air this year. It's just, I want to see how that turns out.
Okay, but you have been watching some things, though, I'm sure.
Right, backlog things. I've been mostly watching the, Universal Timeline Gundam stuff, and I've been enjoying that a lot, actually, like a lot more than I thought it would. I'm about 2/3 into the franchise, I assume. Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Chris, anything you've been watching lately that you'd like to share?
Well, as we established previously, I've been watching Divine Gate.
All one episodes of it.
Right. Angstiest fucking thing I've seen in years.
From that quote I heard you recite, I can imagine.
Outside of that, I am baffled that Studio Dean has brought us one of the best shows of the season.
That is really surprising, especially considering fuck Dean.
And for the record, the show I am talking about is... Let me get the exact title, because I can never remember it entirely. Too far.
Showa Genroku Rakugo Shinju.
That one!
Yep. You're welcome. Yeah, that one seems to be pretty good. I'm also, at this point, really looking forward to Prince of Stride Alternative and Bubuku Budanki, which I just watched today and really surprised me. But then again, that's all based off of one episode, so we'll see how that goes. Anything in your...
Oh, didn't you watch something else this week?
Me?
Yeah, something that I'm sure you enjoyed.
Oh, are you talking about Kiyo Annie? We'll get into Phantom World in the main discussion, because I'll have some stuff to say about it there. Anything, Chris, that you've been sort of watching in terms of backlog, of catching up on stuff?
Well, that was 2 weeks of Digimon Zero 2 twice.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know whether or not this is going to be released before or after our Digimon 02 podcast, or the first half of it at least. But in preparation for that, Chris watched Digimon Adventure 02, and then he
subbed
watched...
and dubbed.
Yeah, he watched it dubbed, and then he watched it subbed.
Good lord.
All in the span of about 12 days.
Yep.
You have to admire his endurance.
Oh, I was burnt out after I was finished. Enough Digivolving. We're done for a while.
as for what I've been working on lately, Osomatsu-san's been airing. I've really been enjoying that. I'm also trying to work my way through Monogatari series second season. Didn't like the first arc at all. Then I started up the second arc. I'm like, oh, well, I guess I'm kind of enjoying this now. So that's what I've been watching lately.
Mm. Okay, cool.
Been reading a lot of manga, too, though.
Oh, God, that's something I haven't been doing lately. I've been lacking in manga. Very much. Oh, I can't even remember the last thing I read.
I've been deprived since there is no Hero Academia chapter this week.
I think what I've read most recently, actually, what I'm working on, is something called Uwasa no Midori-kun, or The Rumored Midori-kun. It's this manga, it's a shoujo manga about this, you know, this girl who comes from an island, and she meets this guy who's a soccer player, and he sort of instills this big love of soccer in her. Anyway, then he comes back to the island for a soccer match one day, and she's like, oh my gosh, it's so great connecting with you. And then they fuck on a beach. And and then it turns out that he's like, yeah, I was just doing that to prove how easy it is to get into girls' pants. That pisses her off. So she pretends to be a boy and enrolls in an all-boys school so that she can join a soccer team and beat him in soccer. And it's absolutely terrible. I love every moment of it.
Sounds enjoyable. I think the only thing I've read manga-wise lately was the latest chapter of Gunga no Balzer, and that is really just an alternate history, the seinen manga, which is like filled with politics and battles and whatnot. It's one of my favorite manga of all time. I'd recommend it to anybody. It's just really well written, and the art's beautiful.
All right. So with that, should we jump into our main discussion?
Yep. Sure. Ready.
All right. What we usually do when we bring on a guest is we have them sort of propose some topics for us to choose from. And what we've decided to talk about is sort of comedy. Comedy in anime, how it's used.
Successes and failures of comedy.
Successes and failures. And maybe sort of the differences between Eastern and Western comedy.
And the types of comedy within each one, so.
Yeah. So, what do you guys want to start off with?
Well, there were 6 subtopics I came up with, but I think the first one we're going to talk about is overused tropes in comedy. Especially, everybody knows about the tired, stale, overused tropes in comedy, don't you? Like, those jokes that you see in every single one, or at least every other one, right? And you get there, and you have a brief sigh of, you just... it's just like you just go silent and you glare at the screen. You want to stop watching the episode.
Let me tell you about Phantom World. So, what's the title? Myriad Colors Phantom World. Let me quickly look up the Japanese title. Ah, forget it. I'll just call it Phantom World. Anyway, in Phantom World, there's this point where a girl's about to fall on the guy, and you see from his point of view, he's extending his arm up to catch her, and you can tell it's going to collide with her breast. Mm-hmm. That's one that I'm sure you're all familiar with.
Yep. I mean, in real life, that's happened to me so many times.
Right. I'm sure everybody can relate on an everyday scale, just like all these shows.
I mean, tripping over the floor and falling on your love interest is, an everyday occurrence.
No, it's clearly a very good tactic at getting at that girl you like,
Anyway, as this is happening, he makes some offhand comment about how, he's about to enter some sort of dating sim cliche. And he quickly grabs his hand, wrenches himself away, and falls in such a way where he lands behind her, but her skirt's kind of up, so he sees her panties. And it pissed me off to no end, because what you're doing is you're not putting a new spin on an old classic. Because, first of all, it's not an old classic. That's an offense to classics to call that classic. It's old and busted is what it is.
You know what?
What you're doing is you are taking that old and busted idea and saying, we're going to use just a little bit of a different setup to get to the exact same punchline. It doesn't matter whether you grope her or not. What matters is that you have the setup, there's an accident, you end up accidentally catching her in a compromising position, she freaks out and retaliates, despite it being just this huge misunderstanding. That's exactly what happens, and pointing out that that's about to work, that it doesn't change anything. You cannot just say, well, we're going to point out that we're doing this, and that makes it meta and self-referential, and that means it's good. Being meta or self-referential is not inherently good. That's my little rant on, you know, Phantom World. I could go into more stuff, but that's all that's been to this.
You know, my major question is, who identifies with this humor? To be honest, I've never met one person who found it funny, if not offensive. And I know comedy and humor is a subjective thing, but even then, I don't understand at all what's funny about groping or seeing panties or whatever, sexual, whatever they're trying to get at with that joke. It's not funny.
Fan service.
I think that's the absolute worst one I've ever seen. And, like, it was like, I liked it the first time I saw it, which was in Neon Genesis Evangelion. But Neon Genesis Evangelion also has a much better delivery of it than...
It does.
Because... They don't... Well, part of it is... You know the part I'm talking about, right?
Right. I feel like that was actually a very good, like, point where they could develop Rey's character.
Yeah, and they use it to develop Rey's character because her reaction is so out of the ordinary.
Right.
She just tells him, please get off me.
Very calmly.
And it's when he talks bad about his father that she actually slaps him just a bit later.
Just to show you how her mindset on things is.
Yeah, and I mean, it's kind of amusing because... Like, it's amusing the first time you see it, and because it goes just so out of the way. Because it's so... horribly awkward. He's directly groping her skin. He's surrounded by panties everywhere because he's accidentally caught on the drawer.
Right. You mentioned that the first time you see these various tropes, they're funny, but even a lot of times when I see these for the first time, they weren't funny to me at all. Even that scene, which wasn't the first time, though, I thought it was a relatively serious scene. I didn't find it humorous.
And it is delivered seriously. There are a lot of, you know, if you're going to talk about funny scenes in early Evangelion, there are a lot that are better.
Right. That was a very serious scene, like I said, though.
Yeah. It's more awkward than anything.
Besides the sexual overuse tropes, there are plenty of others.
You know what gets on my nerves?
Yeah.
The fact that people leave that screaming equals funny.
Right.
Yeah, just
really...
Elaborate a bit.
I remember it was a show from, I think it was either the fall season or the summer season, where it was just the constant thing seemed to be everyone just over the top shouting at each other, like, oh, you did that! What do you think you're doing? Oh, well, you did that! Yeah, it's sort of like that stereotype, you know, when you see those anime parodies where someone's like, oh! But it's more grating to me when it's just constant back and forth.
Yeah.
I want to say a little bit of Edotama.
Makes your ears bleed.
I'm still trying to pin down just what specifically you're talking about.
I know what it means. It's actually a lot more common than he's giving credit for, actually. It is very overused. I see it in almost every comedy anime, and every slice of life anime has it, at least one scene.
Oh, wait, are you talking to, like, someone says something and then everyone has the huge overreaction?
No, that one. I'm okay with. It's when it's back and forth, where it's like when you make a statement, but the writers somehow think it's funnier if you shout it at them.
Yeah, you're just going to have to find examples of this to show me afterwards, because I'm just drawing a complete blank.
To be quite literal, it's just a conversation where everybody's screaming as loud as they can. Back and forth.
And it's not that they're having an argument. It's just a general conversation. Like, what? You put chili on your ramen? What?
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, like, yeah, I put chili on my ramen. What's the problem with that?
That actually reminds me of another one that kind of bugs me. And that is whenever cooking shows up in anime. Not whenever, but most of the time, you know, cooking shows up in anime.
Except Shokugeki no Soma.
Yeah, there are some shows, oftentimes, you know, cooking shows, that's something where it's sort of, like, food-centric shows, that's something that it's going to be a bit different. But I'm talking about, you know, one of the characters cooks a meal for everyone else or whatnot. There's always this same scene where they take a bite, and there's a pot, there's just this quick beat, and what happens next it's one of two things. They either react because it's disgusting, or they react because it's delicious.
Yeah, and they say the exact same phrases, you know, in every single one.
I feel like the only time that ever worked for me was Nisekoi, because her dishes have quite literally put people in the hospital.
Which character is this?
Onodera.
Mm. Onodera. She was a bad cook?
Yeah, she could design, but she couldn't cook for shit.
Hmm.
Speaking of consumption, though, I feel like this segues me into another one that, like, just annoys the piss out of me, which is anytime anybody drinks alcohol, they, like, slam the can down, and they're like, oh my god, it's the best, and everybody's like, it's like they're supposed to get a shock reaction out of small children or something because they're drinking alcohol. I'm like, no, that's not how people act when they drink. Except unless you're like an edgy 15-year-old. Hmm. So.
See, I don't think that's meant to be used for comedy for the most part.
I feel like I feel like it is.
Like, to go back to Evangelion, like, I feel I know what you're talking about, where Misato would always...
Misato is the first one that, like, caught my eye with that. I'm like, what are you trying to do? It just was extremely jarring to me.
And see,
I think it's just to establish that someone's a rowdy drunk.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like it's not so much intentionally for comedy as it is for, you know, to establish character.
If it's attempting to characterize, I feel like that's kind of a poor way to represent the fact that they drink. But anyways, yeah, let's continue with some more tropes.
So one thing I actually want to bring up, because it's an actual type of comedy... something you'll see that pops up a lot is, you know, someone says something kind of stupid, and then another person will whack them, you know, pulling out a paper fan or something.
That's an old... That, I've almost thought that was dead until Yu-Gi-Oh! Arc 5 came, and they brought it back.
there is actually a term for that. It's a type of routine known as manzai, where you have the bokeh, who is sort of a clown, sort of the dumb character, and then you have a straight man who has a little bit of a temper, known as the tsukomi. And that's sort of an a kansai-type thing. The character is traditionally or often, you know, presented as having kansai dialects.
Yeah.
Okay, and
that's like the traditional version, though.
Okay, I feel like in Arc 5, that makes sense, since the main character is supposed to be an entertainer. So to throw that in there kind of makes sense. Because whenever he says stupid, the main female character, Yuzu, will always... Well, right. No, they don't use it frequently. It only comes up every so often. But yeah, it kind of, in the sense of Arc 5, it makes sense with how you described it. Yeah. But
and the thing is, like, you can look at that and say, oh, well, that seems like a cliche. In some ways, yes. I think it's more just a different type of joke, because it's so ingrained in this sort of culture. It's like a type of routine.
Yeah.
That's, you know, saying, oh, well, that's cliche. That'd be like saying, well, an Abbott and Costello routine is cliche. Or, like, not an Abbott and Costello routine necessarily, because I believe they had a variety of comedy, but, you know, a who's on first routine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, here we always find those fun because we recognize them and we're like, ah, that's as like a who's on first type of thing. I like comedy like that. Mm-hmm. And this is sort of the same thing.
One more trope I can think of is anytime anything awkward or unsuspected happens, everybody just stares and there's Japanese characters on the screen and they're just sitting there staring. I found that, like, not that I didn't find that clever at first, but after a while, it was so overused that you just see it in every single show. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Kind of.
Me too, but it doesn't really get on my nerves.
Like, there are a lot of things that
it's not that it gets on my nerves, but like it's just so overused in my opinion that it's just like, are you really interjecting that into the scene?
I think there are a lot of things that I can sort of, you know, think of off the top of my head, but I feel like there are a bunch of different variants, so.
Mm-hmm. Like there, something unsuspected happens, and somebody says, what? And then just the scene transfers from there. And it's, I don't know, I just really don't like that much anymore.
Hmm.
I don't know, I feel like when it's done, it can be done properly. Like, honestly, in a real-life example, there is just sort of at my neurologist, he covers all ages, so they have kids' stuff along with, you know, regular magazines and whatnot, including a photo of one of the covers to a Bad Bar book. And I just, you know, I'm just sitting there, I just sort of offhandly go to Mom, hey, remember that time when there was an uprising in Babar's kingdom and all the monkeys cut off Babar's head? My mom's sort of like, what?
I don't even know what Babar is.
Really?
Right. Same. I was like, what?
Oh my god! Babar was a series of children's book where this elephant was the king of this jungle and he had these little shit kids and there'd be animal shenanigans.
See, I'd say this must be a cultural thing, but I'm pretty sure we're all American here.
Yeah, no, I mean, it started out in England, but it came over here. Dude even had his own TV show.
Oh, I don't know what he's talking about either.
But
you deprive children.
Right.
Anyway, we're getting a bit off topic.
Do you want to start on the next one?
I guess sort of the flip side to that is, how exactly do you see comedy being used well within anime? What do you see, like, what shows do you see that sort of have good comedic timing, are able to pull off jokes really well?
Well, again, that's just completely subjective, but for me it's when things are completely over the top or random or very, like, they just go beyond the scope of what is typically used, or it's a lot more, what would be the word for it? A lot more brave to say and use for an anime. You know what I mean?
Kind of. I'm looking more though for examples of comedies examples of comedies, like particular shows that come to mind as, oh, this is a good comedy. You know, shows can learn from this one.
You go first. You're good.
I don't know if that would be, I would go that far to make that large of a claim, but I'd say some of my favorite comedies are probably JoJo, Prison School, Ninja Slayer, Panty and Stocking, things like that. School Rumble, like I said, is one of my favorite comedies. That's probably one of the only two major school rom-com-esque things that I've been a fan of. And the other one being Toradora. Hmm. So, those are the comedy I appreciate the most.
Right. Some of the ones that come to mind first for me are, Nichijou is probably my favorite comedy of all time.
That's one I forgot about. It's just slapstick randomness with some, like you said one time to me, with some underlying things to it, though.
Yeah, I think there really are a lot of underlying things to it, but the comedy works so well just because of how they tell the jokes through the animation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just the various reaction shots. Like, it's one of my favorite GIFs just comes from the scene where they're caught in the rain and all this terrible stuff just keeps happening.
Yeah.
And they just have these completely flat poker face looks on. And they're going through, like, all this whole experience where this shrine ends up pretty much collapsing on top of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just sitting there looking like they just don't give a fuck. Or they...
Right.
Not that they don't give a fuck, more that they've run out of fucks to give. They're like...
Right, right.
Whatever. This is just life now.
yeah.
And then on the flip side, you've got, you know, parts where it gets...
The goat.
Super expressive, yeah, with, like...
Right. the goat.
The one that comes to mind for me is when the dogs bite them.
Right,
and,
that one's... Like, yeah, that's... Yeah.
They... You know, unleash these wave motion beams from their mouths as they're screaming.
Right. Yeah. That's one thing that I will say, because you brought that up, is that, well, I think what makes a good comedy, especially, is when you're able to, like, list off scenes that stood out to you. That's what makes a comedy great to me, is if you can talk to anybody who's seen it, and you'd be like, oh yeah, I remember that scene, that scene was hilarious. And you can just continue on and on. Whereas in a lot of other school comedy and, you know, more cliche anime comedy, I'm just like, I don't remember any particular jokes or scenes from it. But like Nichijou, every single scene is a standout scene you can have a conversation around. And I think that's what
and
makes
it's
an amazing comedy.
Like the comedy within it, too, is so varied.
Right, right.
Like we just described two very different types of scenes, and I could describe, you know, more scenes than that, and they'd all have
sort of a
different idea behind them.
Yep.
Let's see here. What are some of the other good ones I can think of off the top of my head? I really liked Gugure Kokuri-san, which aired sometime in 2014. I don't remember the exact. It was fall?
Yeah.
All right. And that one was just a really good character comedy, I thought. It had a lot of fun characters. It had sort of this bizarre premise with these weird characters all living together. And I think character comedy is really where anime shines more than... not necessarily more than, you know, Western comedies, but I think generally, like, Western... I generally kind of prefer Western comedies, but when the shows focus more on characters and use situational comedy, you know, using the characters, I think Japanese comedies actually end up doing that a bit better.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Chris? Do you have any examples of...
Well, I feel like I guess the best example of a comedic ensemble cast would be Gekkan Shoujo Nozaki-kun.
Yeah.
Right, Nozaki-kun's another really
good one. Yeah, everyone just looks so...
I felt like that was an example. Like, I was bashing real hard on the cliche school anime rom-coms, and that's one that actually stood out as well-executed to me, personally.
Well, I feel too, that part of that is because, like, Nozaki-kun is... It's a comedy, but it's also a parody. Of other comedies.
Right.
Yeah, it's like everyone is the exact opposite gender tropes that they usually are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's part of it. It's also, like, what are some of the... It really parodies shoujo manga in general.
Yeah.
That also works. Because he's a shoujo manga artist.
And I think part of the reason I really like the cast is that very rarely are all of them in the same place together. They can easily work off each other with only just a handful of them being there. I think I think usually the most we ever see at one time is 3 to 4.
Mm-hmm. That's a sign of having good characters, or at least characters that are good at interacting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then one thing I do want to quickly bring up is that they're like the style of comedy that's used in anime, like Eastern comedy, it's a bit different than in America. because here in America we use a lot of, you know, question and answer jokes. It's based very much on a setup and then a punchline.
Well, so you got wit and smarm and...
Yeah, and that's started to become more popular lately.
Whereas Eastern is just a straight-up statement.
I'm not quite sure. I'm not quite sure what the real difference is. I think, well, a lot of it I feel like is sort of reactionary comedy.
Yeah.
You see a lot of gag-based reactions. Like the huge overreaction to a statement that someone makes is something that
we
pops up a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
But then in so Japan actually has a phrase that they'll use sometimes for a joke that doesn't translate because it's just not the style of joke that they're selling. That's an American joke. That's a term that I've seen used in several places. I've seen it used it in Azumanga Daioh as well as Nichijou. So where, you know, a joke falls flat or something, or they're not quite able to pick up on why exactly it's supposed to be funny. Mm-hmm. And they just respond with, well, it's an American joke.
One that I could see that translates well would be word puns, because even we make word puns as well, but they're different in the sense that they're delivered.
A little, yeah. Also, it's such a shame that, like, puns don't translate well most of the times, because...
Right, because I feel like a...
Japanese has so many opportunities for puns, just because it has sort of such a limited... what's the word I'm looking... It has so few phenomes. You can't use too many different... You can't build words in too many different ways.
I think one of my favorite word puns is ass classes, Irina Jilovich, whatever. She wants him to call her by, like, Veach Sensei or something like that, but since V's don't exactly translate well to Japan, they end up calling her Bitch Sensei.
Well, that's actually a joke that, you know, is based in the English language.
Yeah.
Because it's because of a cultural barrier that exists. But like like Tamagotchi, for example. You know what a Tamagotchi is, right? Those little virtual pet keychain things.
Yep.
It's a play off of, you know, the word Tamago or egg and Tomodachi or friend.
Yeah.
It's an egg friend. And something like that doesn't translate because There are so many little things in Japanese that there's so many opportunities for puns, because so many, like, you can change words a little bit and suddenly they're completely different words. It's a lot easier to construct a pun than in English, at least from my understanding.
No, you don't seem to have any problem.
At least, you know, from my understanding of how the Japanese language works. Which, you know, some people who are fluent in Japanese are probably going to look at me and be like, you are talking out your ass right now.
We don't claim to be experts here.
No. So, basically, pun-based shows, like, I think Bobo 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 is a very heavily pun-based.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to, you know, translate a show like that because it's, you know, deeply, deeply rooted in puns that... don't translate, which is unfortunate. So did you want to sort of move on to the next subtopic we had?
Yes, I'm very passionate about this next one, which is comedy that is obnoxiously interjected into a serious story, and especially at the worst times. And I have two major examples that I could see for, like, you know, so people can resonate with those two examples and apply them to other shows as well. Those shows would be Code Geass and Fullmetal Alchemist, all right?
So now, Code Geass... See, so before you start,
yes.
Can I ask what specifically about this just doesn't work for you? Because in American television and movies, it's been a recent trend lately to take something that's more of a serious story and make it, you know, make it sort of funny as a contrast.
Right.
Like,
that was
like Joss Whedon's stuff is a very good example of that. Like, look at Firefly. It's a very serious story, but it's also something that's very funny.
But then you have the Digimon Zero 2 dub, which we went into length yesterday.
How about this? Let me distinguish. Allow me to distinguish. When I'm saying that, I mean that it has a story that's meant to be taken very seriously, I feel. Or at least I want it to be. And I feel like it should be. But then it has, in the most crucial moments, it'll just, or in the midst of the story, it'll just have comedy put in that's just completely destroys the mood.
Kimi Uso, there's another example.
Yeah. And I'm going to elaborate upon two examples within the shows I just named.
So, would you say that it's less, it's more when the comedy conflicts rather than contrasts then?
Yeah, I mean, some people view it as a change of pace. I personally just see it as self-destructive towards the show.
Okay.
Even if it's trying to pander to multiple demographics, it just doesn't appeal to me, and I feel like it sometimes destroys the experience for a lot of other people. So, for Code Geass, for example, that's my favorite, and this is one of the hugest flaws I have with it, which is it's a genuinely serious story. Can both of you testify to this?
Wait. Code Geass?
Code Geass, yeah. It has a very serious story. Would you agree?
Yes, can I take a guess?
It's been a long time.
Can I take a guess at what example you're going to give?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it, I think it was episode 12 or 13 of season 2?
Sure.
Yeah. The school festival?
Mm-hmm. All the
that whole festivals. Goddamn episode?
Yeah, there were just four episodes in general that I thought, out of the 50, that just completely disrupted it. It was like a... For me, it was like a perfect line, and it just an explosion happened, and it just took me a minute to get back into it. And it just felt completely out of place, and it ruined that entire episode for me. But one thing was that at least it used a little bit of – it was at least somewhat self-aware of that, because it even makes a joke where Lucius is saying something like, I'm in a rebellion, and I'm blah, 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 and blah, 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 but I'm stuck here peeling potatoes at a school festival. Seriously? Like, and I'm like, well, at least it kind of, you know, acknowledges that. But at the same time, it's like, why did it have to happen at all? And it just completely destroys the atmosphere for me.
Or any shenanigans involving the student council.
That, yeah, exactly. Any of that bullshit. But also, is like during other moments throughout the show, just in general, when people are being stupid. In general, like, not stupid like that, but, like, they're doing dumb things that are supposed to be meant to be funny, but it's just, it's like, no, it's, we're in a very serious moment right now, guys.
I think at the point, by the end of season one, given how much most of the student council got on my nerves, I was starting to think, you know what, Nina's making a good call threatening to nuke the school.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just destroy all of our problems. Anyway, but... Not to discredit Code Geass, because a good 90% of the time, all the serious moments are very well done, in my opinion, and the atmosphere is perfect. But those moments are just like storms in the calm, you know, it just destroys. And another style of this would be the Full Metal Alchemist series, like I mentioned. And
other
shows like it, yeah, repetitive jokes like that. But also, it's like in the midst of a very serious fight that had a mock climax leading up to it, they'll just like put on their chibi face and start screaming at each other, and there's like, it's like, what is this? I didn't sit through all this experience all this build up and have this amazing like fight with great choreography just that all of a sudden, them just start screaming at each other with chibi faces. What is this bullcrap? And it's like, I guess you might be trying to appeal to some 7-year-old, but like, what is this doing? You're just destroying all of the mood and point that you made of the show. Like, I can't take it seriously if you're doing that. or at least I can't take that scene seriously.
Now, let me propose this to you. What are your opinions on how comedy is used in Death Note? I've never seen the sub, and I think that there are maybe a few jokes that happened solely in the dub.
Right. But I thought it was a lot better integrated, but at the same time, it just depends on how ruthless you get with it. But the other two shows I just named, those are ones where it just stands out so much that I can't ignore it. And Death Note, it's like, it kind of works.
If it involved Misa, it got on my nerves.
Yeah, like Ryu cracked me up a lot, like a lot of his shenanigans and shit.
I think with Misa, like, Misa herself sort of is the joke. She's someone who sort of throws a spanner into things, and
yeah,
she's
a broken person, yeah.
Like, White has to work around her because she messes things up, and but I think that it actually sort of lends itself to a lot of fun banter in some ways, and also to, you know, some good situational comedy. Like, I remember there's one point where White's frustrated with Misa, and you just see him thinking, "I've never been so tempted to hit a woman before."
Yeah.
And that's funny because he's taking himself so seriously as he says it.
Right.
But it's like sort of a ridiculous situation.
Right, it's just ridiculous or over the top in a sense, like, everybody knows that scene where he eats the potato chip. it's so dramatic.
Oh, okay. After having read the manga, that scene suddenly makes a lot more sense. Because in the anime, like, in the translation,
like,
he just says,
hell.
"I'll take a potato chip and eat it." But no, in the manga, what he's saying is, you know, I'll solve equations with my right hand and write names with my left. I'll reach into the bag, taking out a potato chip and eating it every time, like, as a way to mask the fact that he's got that bit of the Death Note hidden in there. So it makes a little more sense.
The dramatic music doesn't help.
No.
Chomp.
He just chomps you.
But I think the other thing that really stands out to me in Death Note is the line where I think Misa has lost her memories. And maybe Light has as well at this point. But Light's asking, well, if it turned... Or he's... L's asking Misa something about, you know, what do we do in this case, and her response is essentially, "Well, I couldn't live in a world without life or without light."
Yeah, yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
L immediately comes back with, "Yes, that would be dark." Yeah. I think that, like, it's an absolutely silly joke. It's a dumb pun in what's otherwise a pretty serious show.
Right.
But it works for some reason.
Right. And that's what we're going to get into next, which is why I had to distinguish those two shows earlier in the sense that it doesn't work, is when it's almost like it's like a more mature show or more mature things are happening, and even though it's serious, they're able to interject comedy and it works for it. And then actually it feels like, oh yeah, that's, you know, in real life people make jokes. In real life people have some comedic moments. So it's like, it's okay to interject it, but as long as it's not, like, just goofy, like, immature comedy that's just randomly interjected into random moments. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And it's, like, more clever, or it's more true to life as opposed to just ridiculous.
Comes down to context and tone.
Yes, and I would call this, like, good versus cheap comedy, to be honest.
Hmm.
Like, what's more well written into it than just cheap bullcrap? And one that I actually, like, bring up that I don't know if everybody else considered this comedic, but just it just cracked me up all the time was Spice and Wolf, which is one of my favorites as well.
Have not actually seen it, unfortunately.
Okay. I have.
Did you find it funny?
Yes.
I found it very amusing because it just felt like it was very true to life as opposed to stupid and ridiculous.
And being friends with a wolf god, but
exactly. Holo is just a lot of jokes just waiting to be written into it. And it just works so well for it. Like, every scene, it's like something serious might be happening, but the comedy is serious as well, and it matches it almost. In a sense, it's like whenever she's stubborn or something, or making fun of him or teasing, Kraft, and he's just reacting the way he does, and it's like a little bit more how our normal person might react. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can give examples of this.
What's your stance on Neon Genesis Evangelion?
It's comedy.
And the comedy in there.
Personally, comedy never really stood out to me.
Oh, the scene where Shinji jacked off to Asuka's comatose body? Hilarious!
Okay, well, like, the comedy pretty much completely drops out in the latter half. But the first half of the series has some of the funniest stuff I've seen. There's the toothpick scene. You know what I'm talking about with that, right? Mm-hmm. Where he first encounters Pen Pen. And he's, like, completely... Like he's freaking out and he's yelling to Misato while naked, and there's the beer can covering his genitals, and like you see her reaching for the beer can to take a sip, and you're like, oh, what's gonna happen? And you see there's like a little toothpick holder beneath it, and it's still covering him. It's this neat little bait and switch that I think works really well. Another example that really stands out to me is when they first meet Asuka. And the wind blows her skirt up, and they end up seeing her panties, and she ends up slapping all of them, and she tells him, what was that for? And she tells him that was the viewing fee, quite a bargain, wasn't it? And Toji responds with, "It's a little overpriced. Here's your change," and just yanks down his shorts, and she completely freaks out. That's very silly comedy in what's otherwise a very serious show.
But that's the point I'm trying to make. It's cheap comedy versus clever comedy.
I think it all comes down to, again, sort of the context. Because in Evangelion, the context is...
Which is the point. It has to be written
to be clever. This is terrible stuff that's going on with these kids. Like, they lead pretty rough lives.
Right.
But there are still these light moments of levity within their lives.
It's true to life like that. Even though horrible things happen, people still have moments like that.
Yeah, and I think with Neon Genesis Evangelion, what that did was, at least in the first part, the serious parts were a bit more serious, and the funny parts were a bit more funny, just because they contrasted with each other so much. And I think that's something that not a lot of shows have been able to do really well, in at least anime.
Mm-hmm.
But then, again, like I said, the latter half of Neon Genesis Evangelion, pretty much all the humor drops out, and it's all serious all the time.
Yeah. All right. Do you want to move into types of comedy?
Yeah.
I mean, unless anybody has anything to add to this.
I can't really think about anything.
Right.
I mean, how exactly do you separate types of comedy? I can definitely separate gags, but...
I could separate examples as a whole. Well, I mean, we just named a few. Nozaki-kun would be like a parody of a rom-com,
Yeah.
Then we have something like Ninja Slayer, which is just ridiculous bullshit. Then we have something like JoJo's.
Ninja Slayer falls into parody as well.
Yeah, it is a parody, but it's just... Yeah. And, then there's, just straight up school comedies and whatnot. And
then there's the adult comedies.
Yes. Like, yes, yes, yes.
Like, for example,
Panty and Stocking. I found that show hilarious.
Yeah, Panty and Stocking.
So much. Yeah, that one's...
Denki Guy.
Yeah.
The brand new short that just aired the other day, I think it was called, whatchamacallit?
Oh, like...
Gyaruga-chan.
Yeah. And see, I think the thing... Like those shows stand out because they have you know, mature jokes, but they don't go back to the well with the types of mature jokes they use. Like, they don't do the, oh, he accidentally groped her type thing.
Exactly. They stay away from it.
And it's, they also don't try to take themselves seriously at all.
Right, right. And that's, earlier I said about Nichijou as the example for, like, scenes being standout. I think another big thing is that the certain jokes have to stand out. Like, in the two examples I had, Penny and Stalking and Ninja Slayer, it's like every other thing they say is like a joke I can remember, or like, it's like every one-liner is just hilarious to me, at least to me. Or it's like every other thing they say is just ridiculous, and you can remember that for conversation, you know?
I can actually not remember too much of Ninja Slayer because I have...
You're a drunk fuck.
I have not been sober for very much of it at all.
Watch
just like Nisekoi.
The one thing that does always stick out about Ninja Slayer, though, is... Well, I've also only watched half of it, too. So right. The thing that really stands out for me with Ninja Slayer, the scene, is when, you know, you're panning across his scarf, which is standing completely rigidly in the wind.
Right.
And he has, like, just this whole murder of crows. Like, just perching on his scarf, and it's somehow, you know, holding them up. Yeah. And then, on top of that, you have the joke that it keeps panning because the scarf is ridiculously long.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, in addition to, you know, all the crows perched on the scarf, there's also a few toucans there for some weird reason.
Yes.
So you've got, like, three jokes in one. They're all built off each other. And I think that's like, you can do comedy well when you can take, okay, well, here's a good joke. How can we make this joke funnier? How can we, you know, make a joke about this joke?
So, like, one thing about Ninja Slayer, like, another scene that's repetitive like that, but, like, funny, is, like, how... In most shows, it'd be like, let's say, like, you're, you know, your action hero eats, and it just, like, you know, takes one bite, maybe, and says, oh, it's
ooh,
good.
Hold on.
And just leaves, but he just... There's a scene where he's at the top of a tower, he's fighting his way through, and he takes a break to eat, and he has a box of, like, sushi rolls, and he eats them one at a time. And he eats every...
Guys,
single...
guys, hold on. Keep recording, okay?
He eats every...
Hi, single... Mom! No, but we're recording. No, would you like to say hi to everyone?
Hi. Hi, Chris's mom.
I'll call you when we're done.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Only the second episode, and that...
Little behind the scenes here, folks. Sometimes things like that happen. And, like, we've got two options here. We can either have Kurt go back and give his whole thing again and, you know, cut this out, or we can just leave in this little genuine moment of Chris getting a phone call from his mother.
I love my mama.
Constantly getting interrupted. Anyway... Like I was saying, he ate every single sushi roll in the box the exact same way, and he just repeated the same, like, animation reel, like 28 times, and he ate every single one. It was like, it's like, really?
And they drag on the joke that long.
Yes, exactly.
All right, I want to say, like, another smaller one is Barakamon, which we've talked about this at length in a previous podcast, but the scene where they're just showing how... Naru has been picking up things from the other girls, what they've been saying, and has been inserting them into her average conversation, like, oh, I'm going street walking today! And, you know, it seems like normal, you know, like semi-normal sort of mixed ups, but then they just throw in that last one of, this soup tastes labial!
And see, the thing with, like, Barakamon's style of humor is, like, it's a very specific style of humor. It's, you know, it's a, well, this is how kids are, and it's a very genuine, it's like, this is stuff that could actually very much happen, and it's funny because, it's cute. Essentially, you know, Barakamon is Family Circus, only it's not complete shit.
But with less mazes.
Yeah. I'm ashamed that I've read enough Family Circus to know what you're talking about.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I'm just in general just a fan of the over the top crazy bullshit happening.
It's
like they just say you're JoJo's.
And that's
part of the reason JoJo's comedy works is because of the voice acting cast.
Yeah.
I feel like there's certain people where that just could not work otherwise. I mean, even in the dub, Richard Epcar as old Joseph Joestar. I don't think any other VA with the three episodes of Stardust Crusaders that have been dubbed. I don't think any other voice actor could have done what needs to be done for a character like that.
I haven't heard it, so I'd have to check it out. I've only seen a sub.
Another part with JoJo, too, is part of the reason the over-the-top comedy works so well
is because,
like, the show pretends to take itself really seriously. Like, it knows that it's dumb and silly, but it plays all that completely straight. Like,
exactly.
Oh, you're supposed to care about this. Like, it's this, you know, paragon of manliness, this epic battle for the fate of the world.
But it's the fucking Boingo Boingo Brothers.
At the same time, you know, you have Kakyoin feeding a baby its own poop, or Polnareff being forced to lick a toilet. And you're like, this is really dumb. But I feel like the show's telling me I should take it seriously. But you know that the show isn't actually taking itself seriously. It's only pretending to.
Right.
And that's contrast.
That music and everything else. You know, everything just works together for it.
Conflict.
Yeah.
You have Iggy being an asshole.
Fucking Iggy.
You know what cracks me up? Like, one of the funniest things to me in JoJo is the names of people. Just the names in general. Like, JoJo marries a woman named Susie Q.
Rocky loves his music references.
right. And, like, I remember the second in command of Dio's, like, forces and stuff, his name is Vanilla Ice, and I couldn't breathe the whole episode.
I think my favorite part, too, or, like, one of my favorite parts is actually when those names, because of, you know, copyright or trademark issues, can't actually be used. So you can, like, the translation, because when you're watching it subbed, you can hear the original Japanese, you know, cast and how they're saying it. But you look at the subs, and that's obviously not what they're saying.
Okay, I'm pretty sure Centerfold does not translate to Jay Guile in Japanese.
Yeah, and it's like, huh, okay.
It's just everything.
That's a show. You know, Dan of Steel is a very interesting way of spelling Steely Dan. And it's cheesy, but I think that's also, you know, pretty funny.
They gave us a little something extra for America.
Yeah. You know, even though we touched on these, does anybody want to touch on the whole, like, rom-coms and school comedy and stuff? I mean, do any of you want to go in-depth with that?
Not really.
I mean, I appreciate rom-coms because they give me something to watch with my girlfriend. I mean, shows like Oromonogatari, which we will talk about in length on the upcoming series, Animates.
Yep, Animates. Look forward to it.
Name drop.
The thing with rom-coms is so often they're, you know, focusing on being a romance more than a comedy. And then, like, when you get shows like Kawaiiso that focus more on being a comedy than a romance, you know, Kawaiiso is also more of an ensemble cast. That's what makes the comedy. It's a cast of wacky characters.
I think you guys need to check out School Rumble. I think you'd like it. Because it does focus on the comedy more, but it's like the romance is just, the characters, everything's just, it all works so well, is the thing. Is that all the characters work off each other amazingly like that. The comedy is very clever a lot of times. And it's, the romances are kind of touching, actually. You actually really get attached to a lot of characters. That's what I'm trying to get at.
All right, well, watch School Rumble. And if it sucks, blame Kurt.
No. If it sucks, you have shit taste. No, I'm not going to go there. No. Well, I was going to say...
Well, I can't vouch for it, so...
I was going to say, like, a whole take on... Or each of our takes on the whole comedy genres in general. Like, do you guys generally like the comedy genre? Or is, like, is that your favorite, or your
least favorite? I feel like it's made a comeback in recent years.
Yeah.
Like... 2014, that was some prime fucking comedy.
Yeah, 2014 was a great year for comedy.
Yes, brilliant. But for me, it's just I generally, in all mediums, have always appreciated more mature, more complex, more serious stories in general. So it doesn't give me a hard-on necessarily towards comedy, but at the same time, I'm just not as into it as a lot of others. I don't watch as many, so... Mm-hmm. Which is probably why I get so pissed off when comedy comes into that domain of seriousness.
So the next segment we have is the Mal Review, because you can't abbreviate my anime list without spelling the Spanish and Latin word and probably some other languages for bad.
Yep.
So, Kurt, do you have a review for us? One of the reviews that the good people of My Anime List or, you know, other similar sites have contributed?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
So this is an anime from the 60s that I watched a few friends of mine, and it's probably...
Yes, I remember that. And this is written by a friend of yours, this review.
Yes.
All right.
It's very accurate up front. It's very accurate.
We just want to disclose that, you know, this review is by someone that you personally know.
Anyways, it's very accurate, very, very accurate. All 50 episodes. It's Ogun Bat or Golden Bat. So.
I know nothing about this show, so this review should certainly be enlightening.
Yeah, it will be. This is hands down the best show I have ever witnessed in my entire existence. Nothing currently in the human realm of understanding has prepared me for the beauty contained within the walls of this show. I am forever a changed man for having been exposed to the light of Golden Bat. I will live a righteous life free of any sin, thanks to the heavenly guidance provided by this show. Never again will I be tempted to indulge in earthly pleasures. I have seen the light. I have ascended. I have gazed into the eyes of God, and I never want to return to the putrid heap of disappointment known as the human race. I am content to spend the rest of my life basking in the eternal glory that is Golden Bat. Trust me when I say this show is not something to play with. This show will forever alter your life in an incomprehensibly beautiful way that is completely unequivocal.
Anthological.
Fucking.
Unequivocally.
It's good. I wasn't reading it. Anyway, if you value your life as a human being, please stay away from the show. But if you wish to ascend your level to that of a god, then by all means, bask in the glow of Golden Bat. I cannot tell you enough times how much of an impact the show has made on my life. I can't ever go back to the simple life I used to live. Human relationships, education, prosperity, fulfillment, all of these things mean naught compared to the beauty of Golden Bat. Watching and rewatching the show has become the only means by which I can feel. Golden Bat has disconnected me from the physical level of being. I am truly one with the universe, thanks entirely to Golden Bat. You may have noticed by now that I have mentioned absolutely nothing about the subject matter of Golden Bat. This is simply attributed to the fact that the human languages lack the words to describe such paramount beauty. We may never be able to communicate through words the glory or everlasting transcendence given to us by the godly creators of Golden Bat. It's not worth my time. It's worth more than my time. Scores do it no justice, and you need to tell all your family and friends about this show. Because that was a very true-to-life review, and like he said, you don't even have to delve into anything like related to it. Like, it's just watch it. Go watch it and just become a changed person. You know?
That's crazy. I feel like I've become enlightened just from hearing this review.
Oh, go watch it then.
I can only imagine how good the show is going to be.
Yeah, it's, yeah. very few shows have I rated 10 out of 10, and that's one of them. The other two being Inferno Cop and a hentai called Tropical Kiss. So, so yeah, go look up Golden Vet. And if that doesn't suit your fancy, go watch School Rumble, because that's actually a good show. Golden Bat's not. Just don't, yeah.
But what, Golden anyway. Bat's not actually a good show?
Yeah, I should go confess my sins for saying that, but... No. Well, I'm not gonna lie to the people and say that's a good show.
Golden Bat's a pile of shit.
I wish we should. I feel like at some point we should have a live reaction to this. Just episode one.
Well,
oh, that's what Wario you're watching news for.
Yep, we've got a show for that. All right. So, Chris, do you want to go next, or should I?
I'll go next. Okay. I have a review today for a little anime called Mars of Destruction.
Okay.
Just take a drink. Actually, yes, that is the rating.
Wow.
The greatest piece of entertainment in the history of the universe. One Punch Man? Trash. Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood? Trash. Steins Gate? Trash. Hunter x Hunter? Trash. Gintama? Trash. Clannad After Story? Trash. Code Geass? Trash. Mars of Destruction? Masterpiece. Anime is nothing without Mars of Destruction. It sets a bar that is impossible to match even if you're Jesus himself. Mars of Destruction will make you laugh, make you cry, and swirl a typhoon of emotion in your loins. Expressing the magic that is this OVA is impossible even for me, the most fantastic writer on this big black planet. If I were you, I wouldn't waste a single second, and I would rush to your nearest supermarket to take a glance at even a second of this masterpiece. 1 second is all you need, and every single skin cell you may or may not have will be blown away in an instant. I've been reduced to a pile of bones. Thank you, Mars of Destruction.
Wow, that's
poetic.
I didn't realize that Mars of Destruction was available at my local supermarket.
Or that it would kill you.
How did he even write the review if he was dead?
Right. Well, I mean, I guess he transcended to God. He also watched Golden Bat before.
Ah, okay.
So he didn't. Sense. He was immortal to begin with, right?
Okay.
That's why he didn't die. Normal people would die.
Now, I'm assuming that this is a satirical review as well, and that
Mars
of Destruction is actually terrible.
Mars of Destruction is shit.
All right. Well, in that case, how about I cap this off with an earnest review of a pretty well-known show that people have been very excited about recently.
A non-ironical review that could probably be seen as satirical, but is not.
Probably not. It's just bad. So, this is a review of One Punch Man. One Punch Man! One Punch Man, you mean the anime of that is a masterpiece. That anime leave to number 18 of the top 250 best TV series at IMDb. Look it up. One Punch Man is the light in the core that tore through the whole solar system. One Punch Man that everyone love or hate. You love it because you're a fan of the series, inspired by it, and a otaku or a newbie. You hate it because you're a shonen fanboy who complain about this show taking over your favorite shonen anime like DBZ, One Piece, etc. that is Rotten Tomatoes. It is not the best. You hate it because it's the most overhyped to the industry in anime. Let me say to all you fans, One Punch Man is amazing. One Punch Man is unbelievable. One Punch Man is popularly. One Punch Man is super overhyped. Plot. 10 out of 10. Very satisfying. Very inspiration. Very catchy. Saitama is average person. Average. You can't see me doing air quotes, but that I'm doing air quotes.
You're killing the momentum, man. Keep it going.
is average person, average, who seek of wishing to fight the stronger villains, but the villains he fought was defeated in one punch. The conflict is he's now a C-class instead of a S-class, and defeated many goonies as he would achieve to that grade. Introduction, 10 out of 10. Exposition, 10 out of 10. Conflict, 10 out of 10. Pacing, 10 out of 10. Conclusion, 10 out of 10. Art, 10 out of 10. Marvelously outstunning. What can I say? You can make a great anime with gorgeous animation, surprising graphic, and amazing art visual. The characters' design are mainstream. The fight choreography is a animation is brilliant. Sound, 10 out of 10. One punch! The soundtrack is not perfect, to be honest. Their sad music and the battle music, it is very epic. The opening music is the best music out of all.
10 out of 10, though.
10 out of 10, though. Yeah, despite that. Characters, 10 out of 10. Very entertainment and awesome. The cast of characters are very likable. The villains look cool, and each characters have their own development and screen time, and it not about Saitama. Boros is an sympatric villain, in my opinion. Also, I wish I want of pieces of Tatsumaki ass you fell me. Anywhere my...
I'm going to reread this. Also, I wish I want of pieces of Tatsumaki ass you fell me.
I have no idea what that even means. Anywhere. My favorite character is Moomin Rider. He's very inspired and a cursed Genos. Enjoyment, 10 out of 10. I may overlike it, but I love it. What I know it of mass popularity, I know it a...
He said popularity.
Not, yeah, it was of mass of... What I know it mass of popularly, I know it a huge deal, but it unbelievable good. Overall, 10 out of 10. It not only my favorite anime ever, it also my favorite TV show in 2015. The dub is not yet released, and they will make season 2 of this series. Here is what I like. It's an action comedy genre, not a parody. Characters development story as a fascinated person. Conflict is cliche but impressive, and it's original animation that adaptation to the manga. You know, you'd think that making it, that it being an adaptation would mean it's not an original animation. Whatever. If you a new anime that is made 2015, I highly recommend watching One Punch Man if you're into action, superheroes, comedy, and style of visual animation. Check it out. 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, 100 squats, then a 10 kilometer run every sing day. And do you want to take a guess as what the overall rating that this guy gave the show was?
Clearly a 5.
Oh, no, you'd think so, but it was actually 10.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? I was. That's not a surprise, you know. He was giving all the numbers but 10.
Yeah.
So, I don't. I think he said he hated it multiple times.
So, yeah, I'm pretty sure that...
Out of all of our reviews, I feel like this is the one we can actually break down, because I actually... There's just too much to digest from that.
Do you want to analyze it and break it down?
I do.
Oh, please, have at it.
Okay. I don't... Oh my god. Like, what? How does this make a review? How? You know, I'm actually kind of speechless.
You haven't read many reviews on my anime list or on any list if you've. You know, no, if you're like, this is. Well, no, any list actually generally has relatively good reviews, at least.
Yeah. Or at least.
With exceptions. Let me point that out. With exceptions.
Like you. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway.
Okay. Oh, no, it's good if I'm an exception.
So, a few things I'll say anybody listening, whatever. Though, is that he pointed out that this is one thing that I've kind of made a point towards for most people. They always talk about how good it looks, but I'm like, if you want something that's visually impressive, go read it. Like, you don't read One Punch Man's manga. You watch that. Have either of you read it?
I have not, but I am familiar with what it looks like.
It's pretty gorgeous.
Yeah. Fights. Apparently, but I've heard in the digital editions there are these two-page spreads that are almost like flipbooks in some ways.
Yep.
There's there, yeah. I did see something being passed around where there was actually the anime was animated worse than the manga was at a certain point.
Yeah. He says sound 10 out of 10. This is the soundtrack is not perfect.
It's like you've never, you know, seen one of these reviews before, Kurt.
No, I don't really use this to check out the reviews.
Yeah.
I'll make sure to stay away now.
It's like we could really break it down, but let's be honest here. What's happening is that you're suddenly realizing that there is this whole world that you've never realized before. This is only the tip of the iceberg.
I know it was there, but I never read one like this. whatever. Anyway, I'm just not even going to rant about a bunch of other things that I was going to. Just let's continue.
Three people found this review helpful, though.
Wow.
Yeah.
Us three.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all of us. We found the review very helpful.
It was very helpful.
Very enlightening.
Very helpful for me to find a handgun and aim it at myself.
All right, thank you for joining us again on this episode of the Bugcast. Kurt, is there anywhere that people can find you if, you know, you want them to follow you or get in contact with you or something?
Yeah, I'm on AndyList and Mal and Hummingbird as General Gyrosin. Okay. I imagine you'll spell that out or put it somewhere. I don't know.
All right, so just those places then?
Yeah.
All right. No Tumblr or anything you want to link?
No.
Okay. Okay, that's fair.
Privacy.
Yeah. And of course, you can find me on Twitter at TheLadybugMan. And then, Chris?
You can find me at TheBraggedyMan on Twitter.
All right. And that'll just about do it for today. Until next time, I'm Buggy, and I think that One Punch Man is very popularly.
I'm Chris, and I'm undergoing an existential crisis that there is a good Studio Dean show.
This is Kurt, and you better watch School Rumble, you motherfucking plebs.
And we will be back to bug you next month as well. Play us out, Pillows.